Blog Talk Radio.
If you provide the fire, I'll provide the sacrifice.
Praise God, praise God. It's a blessing to be here once again in the presence of the Lord. Lord God, we just thank you, God, and praise you and worship you and magnify your name. We only have for who you are in our lives and what you've done and what you represent, God, and where you bring us forth. So first and foremost, Father, we just yield ourselves to you, God, and we just come in an attitude of gratitude, saying, Lord, thank you, God, for another day, God. Another day, God. You woke us up, God. You kept us, God. to keep an anointing, and we're so grateful, Father. But hallelujah, God, we praise your name, and we worship and we bless your name. Father, some people didn't wake up this morning, God. Some people didn't get to their bed last night. But God, you allowed us to have both luxuries. For this, we say thank you. Father, we just praise for just another day, God, that to be amongst the land of the living, God, with fresh blood running warm through our veins and the activity of our limbs, oh God. And God, we got a joy. That's almost, I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. And when I look back over my life, God, and I think things over, God, I can truly say that I've been blessed, God. So this night, God, we have a testimony, God. We have testimony. So God, we just praise you and worship you, Father. I give honor to none other than the founders of this ministry, of the Blog Talk Ministry, which is Omega Ministry Group, which is none other than Minister Jesse Storr and his lovely queen, Sister Tammy Storr, Evangelist Tammy Storr. And we wish her a happy birthday today. Today is her birthday, so we say happy birthday, Sister Tammy. We're so grateful to be a part of your life and you're a part of ours, and we just thank God for that. And we ask that he just continue to bless you with many more. Father, we just praise your name and worship your name and honor your name, Father. We decrease tonight, God, and allow you to increase. Have your way in our lives, Father. And, Father, bless, Lord God, that only you can, Father. We thank you for favor, God. We thank you for divine favor, God. And we praise you, we worship you, we magnify your name. We give you honor, God. We give you glory and praise. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray, Father. And so it is. The next voice you'll hear, we none other than my lovely queen, Evangelist Maria Flint, voice inspiration.
Praise God. Praise God. We're just so happy to be here tonight. We're just so grateful for God and who he is in our lives. We just thank God because he's so faithful and he's just always on time. So we just thank you, Lord God. And he's saying tonight, I am the God of all time and all that is. Seek me not only in morning quietness, but consistently throughout the day. Do not let unexpected problems distract you from my presence. Instead, talk with me about everything and watch confidently to see what I will do. Adversity need not interrupt your communion with me. When things go wrong, you tend to react as if you're being punished. Instead of this negative response, try to view difficulties as blessings in disguise. Make me your refuge by pouring out your heart to me, trusting in me at all times. We have four scriptures on tonight. The first one coming from Psalms 105 and 3. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Psalms 55 and 17. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. Psalms 32 and 6. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely, when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. Psalms 62 and 8. Trust in him at all times. O people, pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Yes, he is. Pour out his heart. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. Praise God for that word. We thank God for this word, and we will turn it over back to Pastor Flint.
Praise God for that word. We thank you, Lord God, for blessing us, God, with your word and with the timely word, Lord God. And today, seek ye early when you may be found, God. And that's the word that you've been giving us, and that's the word that we stand on right now, Father. We begin to praise you and worship you and magnify your name and glorify your name. Father, we thank you, Lord, for Vice Mayor Flint sharing that word with us. It was timely, God, and let it marinate, God, in our souls, and let us meditate on that word, Father. And it will continue to bless us like never before. We give you honor, God, glory, and praise once again. In Jesus' name we pray. So it is. All right, tonight, I got a, before we get into our word and hear from God, we got a little special treat from you. I got a minister there, your guest, if that's what you want to call him. But he's, I'll be doing the blog as well, but he's going to tell us about fitness God's way, none other than Pastor Gibson. And I've been building with him lately with the mention of Forest Park. He's a true man of God in every essence of the word. But even through knowing how to eat the way God tells us to eat by the Bible and how to keep your body healthy. So he's going to give us a little education on that. and then we'll get into the word. God bless. Mr. Gibson, your line is open.
Yes, good evening. This is Pastor Gibson, Bishop Gibson. I am a certified life coach, certified personal trainer, certified in fitness nutrition, and also a military veteran. God has called me to help God's people to restore their health and to maintain their health. God says that our body is the temple of the Lord. We are bought with a price. And so we must, Jesus died for our body, so we must maintain our body. Whatever we do, we ought to do for the glory of God. We have a big problem, especially, there's so many of us are overweight. So many of us are burdened down with health problems. We've got diabetes. We've got cancer. There's a lot of things that we have, but God has designed the body to heal itself. If we just give the body time, if we eat the right food, if we give the body enough rest, if we pray and fast, there's a lot of things that we have to do. The worst type of fat is belly fat. And what happens is when we eat, the body has to assimilate this food. And if it doesn't recognize it as food, and most of the food we eat, I'm talking about the SAD diet, the standard American diet, the body doesn't recognize that as food. So the body to maintain itself, so the body doesn't die quickly, it goes into fat. It's stored fat. And so we have to change what we eat. We have to change when we eat. If you notice that during the ancient times, people just didn't eat every time they wanted to eat. They didn't eat late at night. There's a cycle. God has given us, has provided for us a time to eat and a time to sleep. And we have to maintain our body, we have to be obedient. But the first thing we have to do is detox our mind, detox our soul, because a man is as he thinks in his heart. If you're thinking that you're eating something that is good for you, you're going to keep eating that. The doctors, basically what they do is they give you medication. They don't get to the root of the problem. The reason you have, there's a reason for you have pain, that you have pain. You don't have a lack of aspirin or a lack of Tylenol. There's something going on in your body. But we as people, we look for a quick fix. We look just to eliminate the pain, but there's a problem when you do have pain. So you'll have to get to the root of it. My training is basically in naturopathic way to do that, rather than just cover up the pain with medicine, with OxyContin, with morphine. And actually, people, when you have cancer, you basically die of radiation poison or chemotherapy poison. Your system doesn't recognize that. It causes inflammation. But there's so many things that you can do. Earthing is one thing that you can do. And I explain that, too, in my the seminars that I do have. I talk a little bit about, well, quite a bit about stress management, because your whole body is listening into your emotions, and stress does kill. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto God. So we have to begin to eat the foods that God had recommended for our body. And my seminars are all Bible-based. The diet is Bible-based. You can eat plant protein as opposed to eating all this meat. What happens when you eat meat? Basically, it causes inflammation. It causes your joints to swell. And so you can get as much protein from vegetables. If you eat the right vegetables, you can eat the right vegetables that will produce antioxidants that will help to knock out those free radicals that are running around all over the place. Free radicals basically come from pollution. It comes from the food that you eat. Free radicals, what they do is they steal from the good cells, And then when the cells replace themselves, they become bad cells, and sooner or later they're going to mutate, and they're going to cause cancer, and you're going to get sick. And if you don't make a change, you're going to die. The body is made for a proper pH balance, but what we eat is it's acidity type foods, and acidity type food again causes an imbalance. It causes inflammation. The other thing that we talk about is the benefit of essential oils. Essential oils have been about for a long time. We know that the baby Jesus, they brought frankincense, they brought myrrh, and they brought gold to him. And some people think that gold might have been turmeric. So there is a lot of benefits in the essential oils. And so we talk about that, you know, quite a bit, combining them to give you stress relief, to help you if you have diabetes, to help you if you, even if you have cancer, you want to lose weight. These are a lot of essential oils that helps you with weight. Grapefruit essential oil is good. Meditation is very important. I know I only have a couple of minutes, but I just want to encourage you that there's help for you. I've helped people that were 500 pounds. I helped them to lose weight. You can lose weight. And I do have a 21-day fitness program. If you're interested in that program or a free seminar, if you could just text me and let me know that you have an interest, I'll let you know when the next free seminar. And during our free seminars, we do offer some samples. We have some cocoa butter. We have some other things that we add our essential oils to. And here's the number. If you have an interest in getting fit God's way, it's 770-617-7508. And just text me and say, Pastor Gibson, I'm ready to change my life. I'm ready to get fit. I'm tired and sick of going being on all these pharmaceutical drugs. If you look at the side effects, you know, you might as well keep what you have. That's 770-617-7508. We're going to have a free seminar again soon. And then after that, we're going to start with our program once a month. It's a 21-day program. We talk about exercise and the right type of body weight exercise. You don't need heavy weights. You don't need to run 6 miles a day. All that does is add stress. And then one of the other things we talk about is a deep breathing exercise. You've got to strengthen your heart. And if you want to be a certified Bible fitness or Bible health coach, we can do that too. And then you can go from there and earn. You have an opportunity to earn some money as well. So thank you again, Pastor Flood, Sister Flood, for having me on this evening. And I look forward to being with you again in church, and let's see if we can get some people healthy. God bless you.
Hey, God bless you as well. Before you get off, Pastor Gibson, thank you again for the wonderful information that you displayed and shared with us. But tell them a little bit about instance. You said, I remember you told us, like you said, about your brother and the cancer and all the different things and the morphine and the radiation. Let them know the difference of how, you know, they think it's a panacea or it's pain, but it's actually killing your body more than it's helping. Can you share a little bit with that? Or you,
No, that's fine. I've watched my previous wife. She went home to be with the Lord prematurely. She had osteoporosis. She had congested heart failure. And what she did was they just kept giving her OxyContin. They gave her morphine until she died. When the coroner came by, they said that, well, she had enough drugs in her to kill a horse. And what they did was basically they said they're going to make her comfortable. When they say they're going to make you comfortable, it's just more and more drugs. Now, we looked at the osteoporosis, and what it does, what happened there that she kept drinking Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola is very acidic. And what happened was what your body does is try to get acid any way that they can, that it can. And what it did is take the acid, it took the calcium from the bones to neutralize the acid. So then when she ended her life, she's all bent over and stuff. That's Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola is no good for you. It has an 8-ounce bottle of Coca-Cola has about, it has over 10 teaspoons, if you will, of sugar in it. So that sugar, along with the acid, it basically killed her along with the medication. My brother had died of prostate cancer, and I tried to get him to go the naturopathic way, but they gave him radiation. They gave him chemo. When he came home, he said, the doctor says now he can eat anything he wants to eat. They have given up on him. But there's time. I'm helping another brother out that has prostate cancer, and he's way overweight, high blood pressure and everything. And I told him that he can naturally get rid of this thing. You just have to change your habits. You'd be surprised just what fasting will do for you. You give your body a chance to heal itself. You know, God has wonderfully made our bodies, but we keep eating. We don't give the body a chance to heal itself. So the body keeps storing that excess fat. That excess fat, of course, is inflammation. Your joints are all sore and everything. If you Google and you looked up where three meals a day came in, that's not what God has prescribed for us. You know, when Elijah was fed by the ravens came once in the morning and once in the evening, and their evening wasn't late at night. So that was twice a day. You could just eat twice a day, and you could have much better health. There's a lot of things you can do. You can walk barefoot, and we tell you this, for 10 to 15 minutes a day, and you can get rid of some of the free radicals. We've put shoes on our feet. We put carpet on our floor. All these things that we have done. They did a study of rats. They put rats, one set of rats, they put a cage on the ground, on the grass, and the other they put carpet in. The ones that were on the ground and the grass lived twice as long as the ones that were in, walked on carpet. They fed them the same thing, same type of water, same type of rats. So you'd be surprised. All God wants us to do is get some fresh sunshine, vitamin D, rest, connect with the earth, that he's provided nutrients and everything in the earth, 5-15 minutes a day, exercise, and we can beat all this illness. I was myself, I can testify, I was 50 pounds heavier because I dealt with my previous wife 6 years being sick. And so I never got the rest during those 6 years trying to care for her, being a caretaker, put a lot of stress on me, my blood pressure was really high cholesterol. I was like a walking blimp. And, of course, because of stress and everything else, I was just ready to go to grave myself. But what I did was I started studying, and I started to eat better, started to fast, started to pray. Blood pressure went way down. Cholesterol went way down. I got more energy, and you can do it. You know, I'm 68 years old, and I can probably, I had a little contest. I'll finish with this, where we had a boys club over at my gym at my church. And I told all these young teenagers, if they could beat me doing push-ups, whoever could beat me, I would give them $25. And then I thought about it. I said, well, I'm going to be out of a lot of money. All these people are young. Not one of them could even come close. They went first. And I just, whatever they did, I think they did 50 or 60 or something. I just did 10 more, and just to show them I could beat them. But I probably could have continued on. And so you can be healthy too. There's nothing holding you back but yourself. You know, and the other study that we looked at, what's that, please? You still there?
I praise God. I was saying praise God. I, yes.
We always got to praise God. We got to give him the praise and the glory. But I just want people to come out to the free seminar. You're going to get much more information. I'm also, you know, I'm mindful of your time. I don't want to take up all your time. We got to be praising God and give him the glory, because he's the reason why we're all here, and he loves you. He loves everybody, and I love you too, and I want you healthy. Thanks again.
Praise God. Thank you, Wilson. We bless you. We bless you for education, and I'm sure this blessed everyone on here. We thank you again. I'm sure everyone was blessed by this wealth of information, fitness, God's way. Amen. Teaching how to eat, how to be healthy, how to live right. Oh, man, it's awesome. But we move on to what we're here with Heavenly Father. We thank you, God. We praise you. We worship you. We magnify your name, Father. We thank you for Bishop Gibson, God. We thank you, God, for the wealth of information that you've given him to share with us, God. And God, how to get our lives together, God, and how you said the body was made to naturally heal itself, God. And now we're getting information on how to do so, Father, that even in the Bible, they lived up to Moses, Moses lived up to 990-some years, God. And so, you know, you showed us that even 120 years should be for us to be doing. But, God, we're dying at 40, 50, 60, infested with all kind of things in our bodies, God. But, God, thank you for the education tonight, God. And God, I thank you, God, that we'll be more than just hearers of the word, but hearers and doers of the word. We'll hearken to the voice of the Lord tonight, God, and get our bodies together, God. Get our cancer be gone, diabetes be gone, high blood pressure be gone, high cholesterol be gone, all that stuff we're speaking now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Father, that leukemia, lupus, dementia, Alzheimer's, all those things that have been invaders and tormentors of the body, inflammation, gout, arthritis, God, all these things, even the free radicals, God, that is not allowing our body to heal, God. Everything that we've done that damages his body. You said, they'll know you not, that you are the temple of the living God, and anything you do to defile this body, you know, so you should be destroyed. And this is what has done. We've defiled the body by allowing so many angels in. But, Father, we repent now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, as we decrease, God, and you increase, God, helping your Holy Spirit take over, Father, I decrease tonight, God, and I increase, God. And we move into this word, Father, which is a very, very, I tell you, every time I get the word, I'm the first partaker of it. And this word has cut me so much tonight, ladies and gentlemen. And I thank God for you, everyone on the sound of my voice, your family members, loved ones. But let's get into the word. We're going to first go into 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter. And Second Samuel, the 12th chapter. I'm going to talk about, and he said, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. And he ate of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler to the rich man. And he spared the tick of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. He said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the men that have done this thing shall surely die. But she says, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherever hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight, thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou... Oh, amen. Shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and has taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus said, Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of his son. But I did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord hath put away thy sin, and thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because his deed Thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And they departed into his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. And David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Here we are, ladies and gentlemen. This week, we had a situation going on in my house, personally. And Sunday night, God said 3 days. So in those 3 days, for what we needed to be done, I began to go to the Father and fasting and prayer. But the thing that we were dealing with on the 3 days, one of the things that we thought was the bird in the hand, or two of them, was snatched away on that Monday. Those things we thought was the bird in the hand was snatched away on that Monday. So it caused a little heat in the house, a little friction in the house, a little pain in the house, and a little heartbreak and disappointment. So now we're going through the house, and I know I heard the voice of God. So now I'm dealing with myself, I'm wrestling with myself and saying, God, did I hear you? There's a spirit of heaviness that came over me during those 3 days. There's a spirit of heaviness that came over me during those 3 days, and I was dealing with such. And God was like, man, it's to the point where I'll ever tell you that just now, I just not saved. Over the 3 days, I just not playing my face. And I mean, I was right before the blog talk started because God finally gave me a release. But even then, you can see the spirit of heaviness. You can see the part where in going through, you can see that it was like, I looked at myself in the mirror and I was like, man, it's like 2 years they added on to me or something like that in this part. And it was stressful just going before God in this thing and hearing from God and trusting God and knowing that you've heard from God. But God said tonight, the message tonight is let go. Let God. We got to get out of the way, people. We definitely have to get out of the way. I look at Abraham and why there's Ishmael, because he's trying to help God out. Sometimes we just get in the way of what we say. We're so good at quoting scriptures. We're so good at using Bible cliches, Proverbs 3:5-6. Touch the Lord with all of God, lean not to thy own understanding, and acknowledge him in all your ways, and he shall direct your paths. We say that all the time, and we can just speak it. But you know, one thing I said to a brother of mine today, I said, man, you know what? We have so much faith in worry and doubt than we have in trusting God. We got so much worry and doubt. I mean, we are professors in worryation. And I remember, and I was going to say, worry is going to kill you. But they were, am I going to get out? Am I going to get burned? Or is this going to happen? You can come up, you can reason with yourself, and you can come up with all kind of thoughts and all kind of ideas of what is going to happen, how I'm going to pay this bill, and how I'm going to make this happen, and they say this, and they say that. And you just worry yourself to where the stress comes to your body. Worry is going to kill you. When God said, just trust me. Trust God. You believe God? You say, I believe him. You say, I serve him. You say, I worship him. I mean, we sing those songs so much. I tell them, we can sing all those songs. And I'm going to add it to a hill of beans in our life. Lord, I love you, God. I praise you. I worship God. I trust you, God. You're my all in all, God. And we go through the house. We go swinging out and spitting and crying and cussing and out and just loving God. I'm just saying, we can cuss him for real. I'm just talking. But just screaming and praying and whatever. And then we just watch God just move. But when he don't move, because we in the way, we tie his hands up. Got to come on a point right now where we can just let go and let God. We got to learn how to trust God. I myself included. I mean, my wife would tell you, she's like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, man, I'm dealing with some leadership stuff. And I said, my son, I said, you are where you are because what someone led you. And if this problem or this situation we dealt with was leading to something that was negative and horrible, I had to eat that because it was on, it was my doing hearing from God. So I said, you are what you are because of what somebody led you. And I led to this place hearing from God. And if it led to a place that brought demise, it led to a place that brought destruction, it led to a place that brought discouragement, it led to a place that brought discomfort, then I was eating that. You know, I was eating it, and it was a painful situation. But then after that third day, God manifested, and I was able to release it. My wife, she was like, yeah, let go. I said, I told her this morning, I said, I woke up, I said, I was finally able to release it. And when I was able to release it, then God began to move. God began to move so rapidly. So that's what I'm trying to say tonight. We got to learn how to let go and let God tonight, people. We got to begin to learn how to trust God. Stop worrying. Stop letting doubt. And stop letting fear. See, when fear come in, faith out the door. And when that happens, you can't get no results. I promise you can't get any results. So let's look at that. Let's examine that. Let's examine where we are with God. Let's begin to learn how to trust God. And if we say we trust God, then let's begin to activate. Let's learn how to meditate. He told Joshua, meditate on this word day and night, and it will bring you good success. He didn't just say success, but good success. So that means there's two different types of success. Maybe three types. Maybe a neutral success. Might be a bad success. But he said good success, and he clarified that. So let's learn how to meditate on the word, not memorize the word, but meditate on the word. So, I mean, if it's, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and then you repeat that. You know what I mean? Whatever it is that God is saying, let's look at the 23rd Psalms. See, what happened even in that, when you can trust in the God, when you can just rest in God, you can rest in God when you can trust in God. So that's the thing about it. And that's what God had begun to deal with me about. He was like, listen, you say you trust me. You say you love me. Well, let me show you what I'm going to do. Let me show you how I can do. So I go to the 23rd Psalms. I told you such a lead. You know, you are what you are because what someone led you. And if God is your shepherd, David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He said he makes me lie down in green pasture. That means he gave me some rest. That's what God said. I'm going to give you some rest. You've been tormented by your thoughts. You've been tormented by your reasoning. You've been tormented by your mind, your will, your intellect. All these things that your soulless realm make up has been tormenting you. So that now you're so connected to the soulless realm that when the spirit realm is talking to you, because you are a human spirit, you know, God said, let's make man in his image and after our likeness. And then John 4:23-24 tell us, for God is a spirit, and they that worship him shall worship in spirit and in truth. So let's break down the three components of your body. Man is a spirit. He possesses a soul, and he lives in the body. So let's recognize that you are spirit first. And what has happened is that the human spirit, if it's not listening or connected to the Holy Spirit, it's going to be listening and connecting to the soulless realm, which is the mind, the will, and the intellect. So every time the human spirit is getting a signal from the Holy Spirit, it's being knocked down from the soulless realm, which is the reasoning. The reasoning, like, God is telling you to be still and know that I'm God. The reason is, that how can you be still when you've got this and that and this and that that's got to be done right away, right away, right away? Or I would tell you, like, I was like a, I won't say a nervous wreck, but I was going, I was going, I was busy. I was busy like Martha was, not like Mary. I wasn't at his foot, at his feet. You know, I wasn't there just worrying about, you know, getting him ready, being at his feet, being in his bosom. I was moving around doing this, doing that. But when I began to rest in him, when he let me get to those green pastures, he laid me down in green pastures this morning, then God said, now I can work. You know, he's like, okay, you exhausted yourself, you exhausted your energy, you're done, you're tired, you give up. I said, yeah, I give up, Lord, I'm done. And that's like when you looked at David fasting for 7 days till his son died. And then he went back to life. But that whole time, he's just trying to see if God has changed his mind, God has changed his mind. Whole time, I'm just saying, God, let me help you, let me do this, I got to do this. God just sat back and looked at me laughing, like, this dude here don't get it. He just does not get it. Until my queen, you know, once again, she was like, it's okay. So God woke me up early in the morning like he always does. Had some little words with me like he always does. I got my sword went in the other room. I began to read. It's crazy. I was reading 1 Corinthians 4. I'm going to shut up with you, too. It was powerful. I didn't intend to shut this, but here's what God said. 1 Corinthians 4, chapter. He said, you have many instructors. I'm starting the 14th verse. He said, I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. That's what God had begun to say to me. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ you have begotten you through the gospel. Well, God is saying that you got so many different instructors. You got so many different advisors and different things like that. You got so many people that you consult in, and you're saying, hey, we need to do this and do that, and what do you think about this, and how do you do this, and what would you do? And God said, you got to come to me. You came to me, I gave you a word, and Satan moved right when I gave you that word. So did you believe in my word, or did you believe Satan, or did you believe the effects and not the word? So sometimes we get the effects, and Satan give you the symptoms that will bring you back to a place that's a dark place. Will bring you to a place that will make you doubt God, doubt even that you heard the voice of God. But we got to know that we know that we know. We got to get an ear to God. We got to get an ear to hear. He says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And so tonight I'm telling you, you got to learn how to hear the voice of God. I don't care. Get into a silent place. Get into a place where you can be still. I always say, I thought I'd get you two pens. Get a black one, get a red one. That black one is your words. Write, you know, and the real one, that's when you're going to hear God's voice. And you're going to write it down. And 9 times 10, you're going to know it's his voice. Because everything he's going to tell you is going to be contradictory to your flesh. So that's what we're going to go to. He said, now, therefore I urge you, imitate me. This is Paul speaking to the church of Corinth. But he said, though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you did not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you, imitate me. And you know, Jesus said, give me your yoke. Give me your burden. You know, take on mine. For my burden is easy. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And then he said, learn of me, for I am meek. And so he said, imitate me. That's what God said. Now, imitate me. I know Paul's saying it, but I'm telling you, this is what God told me this morning. Imitate me. Trust me. Imitate my son. My son trusted me to the point of death. He trusted me all the way to the cross and to the resurrection. But he knew that I was faithful to do what I said I was going to do. And that's what we got to get to people. You heard of what's in there. You got to know that God, the God that you serve, is faithful. If nothing else, he's faithful. Even when we are faithless, he's still faithful. And that's what I've gotten to know even more so now. And I pray that my son has grown in this area as well, but just watching God move. And sometimes we can be impatient with things, and we move ahead of God and feel like, you know, because worry come, doubt come, discouragement come, and the what ifs come. What if this, what if that, what if this? But God said this, and I got to stand on what God said. Daryl Coder said the best. He said he's standing on the promises of God. And that's what we all is. That's all we have right now. We got to stand on the promises of God. And see, what I said to my wife is that belief. It's what you believe. It's your belief. So, and if you believe God said, if you believe that God has told you, if you believe you know the voice of God, and not hear him from the goats and all this, but he said, my sheep hear my voice, and the stranger they will not respond to. So you got to know that you, first of all, know who you are. Know that your DNA links you to him. Because unless you're going to hear all types of voices, and you're going to respond to all types of voices. But if you know that, a thief and a robber won't be able to come in if you know the voice of God. You know that you heard the voice of God. You've been connected to the voice of God. You allow the Holy Spirit to give you the word of God. And oftentimes, like I said, sometimes we miss it. Like I said, I went back and forth for myself until God began to say, are you at the end of yourself yet? Yes, sir, I'm at the end of myself. And then he moved. Abram, he still had a little something in him. So when Sarah gave him the handmaiden, Haggai, he went into her and she conceived a child. His name is Ishmael. But when he came to the end of himself, then God stepped in. Sarah got pregnant, and he had a child. He's 100 years old. She's 90-something. His name was Isaac. So when you come into yourself, God will bring you Isaac, and the blessing will come through. He will make his word come through. Let's look at Mark the 9th chapter. We're really going to look at like the 23rd, 24th verse. But here's, watch this. right. So he takes him and tells him it. I'm looking at it, we're going to start in 17 verse, please again. He said, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have run unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whatsoever he take of him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered them and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Then the first thing Jesus did to his disciples, the first thing he did was rebuke his disciples. He didn't even hear the boy yet. He said, how, O faithless generation, and that's what God is saying to us tonight, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? And that's what he's listening. When will we get saved? For all I trust him, for all I take him. I take him at his word. I trust his word. Faith. And here's what he said. He said, and he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him straightway, the spirit carried him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes they cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believe. And surely the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw that people came running, he rebuked the foul spirit, said unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge. He come out of him and entered no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent his soul and came out of him. He was as one dead, and so much that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. This is what the father said. Jesus said, all things, right? Not some things, not a few things, but he said, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. The father of the child cried out and said, with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. So I'm telling you tonight, all things are possible. All things are possible to him that believe. So we got to learn how to let belief and faith go hand in hand with our life right now. And cast out fear. Cast out doubt. Lean not to our own imagination. Lean not to our own thoughts. You know, he said that, hey, man, probably they told us. Don't let anything on understanding any longer. Don't let it make sense. It just don't make sense. With God, most of the time, it never makes sense. It's not going to make sense. That's why faith is faith. Faith is what? Now faith is the evidence of what? Things hoped for. You know, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. So you don't see it. You cannot see it with your eyes, but that's where vision comes in and belief. I can believe it with my faith, with faith God has given me. My faith. Look how you receive. By faith you have received salvation. By faith you have been set free. By faith you call on the name of the Lord. By faith you say, you ain't seen him, but you say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I worship you. I accept you as my Lord and personal Savior. How did you do that? With your eyes? No, it was by faith. I believe. If you confess with your heart and believe, if you believe your heart and confess with your mouth, then it says you'll be saved. So you have to believe in your heart. And that's your mind. I mean, you have to take over the soul system. You have to take over your mind, your will, your intellect that did not make sense and say, I believe that Jesus died on the cross. He rose again. I believe that he died for my sins. I believe that by his stripes I'm healed. I believe that if he said it, I believe it. By my faith, I shall receive it. I believe, I believe, I believe. And that comes to the point where we have doubt, we have fear, we have discouragement, we have unbelief. So we say, Lord, I believe, yet help my unbelief. So we look at this and we go to Romans 8 chapter, because we have to know who we are. We have to know who we are. So Romans 8, right? Begins to tell us in the 14th verse. Because I just told you about leading, and you be leading certain people, but sometimes we got to know about being led by God. And so the 14th verse says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. 15th verse says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and of children then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So we look at being joint heirs with Christ. That means I'm a joint heir with Christ. That means that is an inheritance for me. And how do I get this inheritance? He said, the meek shall inherit the earth. That's what God said in the Beatitudes. And then how do I get the inheritance? And what proves my DNA to saying that I'm his son? It said in the 14th verse that, you know, this is your DNA proven. Like if you get an inheritance in front of the devil, and they say, well, you got to prove that you are the heir of this. You got to prove that this is you. This is your DNA has linked you to this. And so what my DNA is linked is that by me being led by the Spirit of God, then I am a son of God. By me not being led by the spirit of man, by me not being led by the spirit of George or the spirit of self, the spirit of flesh, but being led by the Spirit of God, it explains that I am the Son of God. We can go up a little bit further. He said, in the 11th verse, he said, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are dead to us, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. So this is what we have been doing constantly. And that's why we knock everything down when God gives it to us, because we are so fleshy. We're so earthly that we're no spiritual good. But I'm not telling you to be too spiritual that you're no earthly good either, because you're still here. But we cannot continue to surrender to the flesh. When God sees something, the flesh knocks it down. God says, knock down the wall 10 times, that's a blessing for you. You're like, man, that don't make sense. And so you don't do it. But he said, therefore, brethren, we are dead to us, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if we through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, we shall live. So let's learn how to mortify the deeds of the body, just like you saw the intermittent fasting. If you look at what Christ told the Father when he began explaining to the disciples how that demon came out, he said, this type comes only out by praying and fasting. So we got to get back into praying and fasting. I don't care if we commit to 3 days a week of fasting, getting before God and praying and getting in that word and have a time we can do it at a corporate time or whatever. However you guys feel that this will strengthen you, I'm here to do it with you. I have a gift of fasting. But everybody doesn't have that gift, but I understand. So some of you are on medication, so you got limited what you can do. But I'm telling you, get into praying and fasting. Get into getting in God's face. Get into hearing his voice. You got to get that. You got to get an ear to hear the voice of the Lord so you can move what God says, when you can move when God says. And that relationship will be built up. Because right now the time is of the essence. The time is short. Satan knows, and he's releasing ambushes against the people of God. I just saw something the other day where they're saying they're trying to ban Bibles in California. I'm telling you, this thing is getting real. So they ban Bibles, and you have not hit the word in your heart, then what are you going to do? What's going to be your situation then? Hey, David said, your word have I hidden in my heart, so I will not offend you. And that's the part of meditating on the word day and night. So you begin to pray and fast and meditate on that word, and God continue to build you up. And then you'll be in that place where we talked about the last couple of weeks, is what we have dominion. We begin to move. I'm telling you, man, my family was attacked this week, but God moved so miraculously. Even my daughter, God began to move. She got a paid vacation right now. Paid to the vacation, and she didn't even ask for it. So I'm telling you, God's so awesome, man, I'm telling you. Just let's get before God, let's get in his presence, let's get in his face, and begin to trust him like never before. We serve an awesome God. We serve a mighty God. And then sometimes fear comes. And don't get discouraged when fear comes. Because he said Jehoshaphat feared, and he got before the Lord. Let's look at that. And then I'm going to be out your way after that time. Forgive me, but I'm going to figure out your way right after this one. But Jehoshaphat feared. And you guys know the story anyway. When God said the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. So we go to 2 Chronicles, I think 2018. If I'm not mistaken. And it just came up. The God just came up. And I wasn't thinking about this at all. Trust me. I went in the 20th verse. It said, then Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of The 20th verse. It happened after this that the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon, and others with them, besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria. And they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared. You hear that verse? It says, Jehoshaphat feared. But as he feared, look what he did. He got a position. He got a posture. He said, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. See, sometimes I told him, at this time, come only out by praying and fasting. He feared, but when he feared, he took posture. He took a position. And he began to set himself to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together, asked help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. See, sometimes you gotta, man, we gotta trust God. We gotta speak to God. We gotta say, okay, God, this great multitude, I can't do nothing with it. It's a big multitude, and it's coming at me. God is tormenting me, bombarding me, and I need you. I need your direction. I need to know, God, how do we handle this thing? How do we move forward? And they said to us that feared the Lord. He feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed the fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Then Joseph stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And they began to talk to God. How many of you got some testimonies? How many got some times when God can remind you of where he brought you from and where he took you to and how he delivered you and how he was the same God then and how he was the same God there? Or somebody came against you and the Spirit of the Lord said, vengeance of mine, said the Lord, and I shall repay. And so he didn't let you retaliate. He didn't let you move how you wanted to move. He didn't let you rebuke them how you wanted. And anger was in you. You know anger was in you, but you couldn't retaliate. You couldn't go at their necks the way you desired to. You couldn't be Peter and cut the ear off because God wouldn't allow it to happen. And that's what Joseph began to say. He said, then Joseph stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? Unless you got to know who your source is. You know, earth is there's still a resource on earth, but you got to know earth is not your source. Nothing on earth is your source. It's your resource. You got to know what God is. Even when Jesus told the priest, our Father, well, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So he said, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? You got to remind God of who he is. You got to, but first of all, you got to know who God is. But once you do, you got to remind God of who he is and begin to say, okay, God, I got this issue. Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people, Israel, and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? Are you not my God? Make it personal. Are you not my God? Father, and you got all these things that's coming against me, God, and you said you'll never leave me nor forsake me, God. You'll never have my seed begging for bread. And these are the things that you said, God. You said, command me the things concerning the works of my hands. You said, God, that the Lord I will live of all things that you prosper and be in health, even as our soul prosper. These are your words. At your word. Elijah said, at your word, God. And that's what we got to do. We got to get at your word, God. Or it is written. That's what Christ did when Satan came. He said, it is written. Then they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, and God, on my body, on my forehead is a sanctuary saying, house of God. Because you said that, and now you said that, know ye not that ye are the temple of the living God? So now this temple is yours. So now I made a sanctuary. This sanctuary is you, God. If disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple. And cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now here are the people of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. This body you have given us to inherit. God, this is what we're talking about. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude. See, we got to realize that, man, ain't nothing we can do in ourselves, especially to defeat Satan. Because he's, you know, prince of this world. You know, this is domain. So in the flesh, there's nothing you can do. That's why Paul said if we try to dwell in the flesh and remain in the flesh, we're going to die. He said, for we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. Nor do we know what to do. But watch this, ladies and gentlemen. But our eyes are upon you. Now all Judah with their little ones, their wives, their children stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jehiel. I'm going to leave you with this. The son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude. So no matter what's coming against you right now, ladies and gentlemen, what is bombarding you with problems, with issues, with circumstances, or whatever it is, he said, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude. And we know the multitude can be a number of things. It could be bills. It could be my children on drugs. It could be my husband is crazy. My wife is a harlot. It can be all types of different things. You know what I mean? And these things can come down to this factor alone that God said, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. I leave you with that. Now, if you can trust God, if you can believe God, know that the battle is not yours, but it's God's. And know that God said, vengeance is mine, said the Lord, and I shall repay. You say, hey, praise the Lord right now for his mercy endures forever. Bless the Lord for his mercy endures forever. Give praise to God for his mercy endures forever. Knowing that who I serve a God that gives brand new mercies every morning. You got to know who your God is, ladies and gentlemen. And then you can bring God to remembrance of who he is and what he's done before and what he told you. And then let me know, hey, man, God, I don't know what to do. But my eyes are upon you. And then God just give you words of comfort. Do not be afraid. That means no fear, no dismay, no doubt, no discouragement. But know that this battle here that you're going through, it's not yours, it's mine. And I am already victorious. It already has been written. You are victorious. And you are more than a conqueror. It tells you we are overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Let's start testifying. Let's start professing the blood of the Lamb with our body. Let's start putting blood, shield, head, and protectors around us, around our homes, around our houses, our vehicles, your jobs, whatever it is you have, your businesses, your family. Begin to cover it with the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Let's look at the agent that was in the blood of Jesus, how thick it is, and, you know, how deep it runs. It says, you know, it runs so deep. It's so powerful. And let's begin to apply it to our everyday living. Every time we go out the house, begin to speak about the blood, the blood, the blood, and cover yourself with the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we just thank you, God. We praise you. We worship you. We magnify your name, God, for letting us know how to let go and let you, God, and how to get out your way, God. Father, for so many times, God, we think we need to help you out. So many times, God, we don't trust you. We take you to word, so we find a backdoor plan. We got to find a backup plan, a backdoor plan, a plan B, C, D, God. When God, if you're plan A, that's all we need. Let us learn how to trust you, God. And we thank you, God, that we are being led by you, such as led by the Spirit of God, all the children of God, all the sons of God. And being led by you, God, who are our leader, God, our tower, God, that we're hearing from you, God, and we're speaking to you on a daily basis. You're letting us know where to go. Hey, George, don't go left. Go right. George, put this on. Even to the point of putting on what clothes you want. I want you to wear this color today. We got to get so close to God that we can hear his voice and God say, hey, I want you to wear these shoes today. I don't want you to wear earrings. I don't want you to wear those earrings. I don't want no hoops or nothing. I want you to, okay, this is what I want. I want you to put that pantsuit on. I want you to wear that dress. And you begin to hear from God. Don't touch your phone until I tell you to. Don't call them people until I tell you. Don't call them back. Hear from God. Give them the instructions. And then as he gives you the instructions, you got to listen to God. You got to pay attention to those instructions. We got to yield to those instructions. We got to move by God and not by ourselves. We got to be moved by the Spirit and not by our flesh. The flesh leads to destruction, but the Spirit gives life and life everlasting. Father, we begin to thank you. We praise you. We worship you. We magnify your name. We thank you for this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, strengthen us, God, in every aspect of our lives, God, and continue to cleanse me. Purge me, God, from all forms of unrighteousness, God, as you do it daily, God, because I know, God, that I'm not perfect, God. I'm man, God. I'm only human in your flesh and blood. It's me, but also I'm made in spirit. And I'm a human spirit, first and foremost, God. So I give you honor, God, glory, and praise. And my human spirit will more and more every day yield to the Holy Spirit, that I won't continue to yield to the things that the flesh desires, God, but I'll yield to whatever the Spirit desires. And everyone that's sound of my voice will have that same challenge and that same confession. Father, we give you honor, God. We give you joy. We give you praise. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. And so it is. Are we at that place where we come together with God and we make comments, you know, you add to, you take away. If anything you want to add to and take away from on his word tonight, if you're blessed by the word and you agree with it or if it's strengthened you, then you can make your comments. By pressing 1, I can recognize you. Pressing 1, I can recognize you, and you can begin to speak. But if no one has any comments to make, then we know how. All right. The last one is the number 7977. Your mic is open. Hold on one second. Hold on, man. It should be opening now. Okay, your mic is open now. 7977.
Hello.
Your area code is 202.
Okay, here we go. We bring you greetings from the nation's capital. I was on muted, but we thank the Lord for you and your ministry and your word tonight. I know that God sets things up, because during my blog show last night, we dealt with Deuteronomy chapter 31, specifically with verse 6. And where God has told Moses, it says, be strong and brave. Don't be afraid of them, and don't be frightened, because the Lord your God is with you. He will not leave you or forget you. And so many of us, we live below our poverty or below standard of living that God has for us, because we don't continue to trust in him, and we don't continue to live a life where we're already victorious. His word and what was interesting is even later on, after God tells Moses tells Joshua, and then he says it to the nation again right before they cross over into the promised land, where he already knows that he's not going to be able to go. So it is definitely our responsibility to continue to encourage everyone to live a life where they live a life where they're strong and that they can do what God has them to, what God wants them to do. And I too, God has been telling me to stretch out a little bit more. I need you to do stuff that you can't do. I need you to be in position where you can't get into, but get there and allow me to work and do what I need to do, and then there's no way that you can take the credit. So I touch and agree with you, man, and I believe that God is definitely using us for these times. As always, peace and love, Jay Vane.
Praise God. Praise God. That's my other brother, Willie J. Vane. And I did hear that word on yesterday, too. That was a powerful word in Deuteronomy 31. And God said, be strong and be courageous. So we thank God for you, Pastor Willie J. Vane. You guys listen to his blog talk. It's on Wednesday nights. It's Thursday for me. On Wednesday nights, 8:30 to 9:30. He got great teaching. 1-4-3-6, your mic is open. So that's what is the number, is 1-4-3-6. Did you do that on that side? Alright. So we're gonna conclude. If anyone else has anything they wanna add to a takeaway, you press 1, I can recognize it. If not, we'll begin receiving our benediction from my son. Mr. Anthony Rice, little brother Anthony Rice. And God, listen. He don't understand it, but I almost said that some of the things that have happened and that has happened and has transpired is because God has a calling on his life. He had a calling on his life since he was younger. I mean, he used to be a little prayer warrior. He used to pray really good. Sometimes he get saying the grace confused with saying prayer. Like, what he doing? He was saying about a 2-minute prayer. But like, hey, man, the food getting cold. But he's a prayer warrior, man. He started learning how to intercede at an early age. And, you know, life takes you different ways. He's just like me. I was a track star too, running from my anointing, running from the calling. But God will reel you in. How many of you know that God can reel you in? And God will reel you in. And that's what's happening now. God has reeled them in. And we honor the God for just doing just that on tonight. And he has a gift. He has a gift that God has given him to play basketball. He has a gift that God has given him to be a leader. And so sometimes the gift can get in front of the calling, and God said, let me change that around, and the calling and the choosing. So he said, I was talking about the chosen few. So God said, many are called, but few are chosen. So to be chosen, that means you have been set apart, sanctified, made differently, made holy. So now that I can use you, now your gift will make room for you. But I don't want your gift making room before you, understand that you have been chosen for such a time as this. We have gotten honor, praise, and all that in Jesus' name.
I would like to thank you for those enlightening words, Mr. Brother Flint. But I want to thank God for life up to strength. Thank you for giving us this day. Thank you for waking us up this morning, keeping us in our right minds. I want to thank you, Lord God, for being there for us when we need you the most, Lord God. And I want to thank you for continuing to humble us, Lord God, and let us break through certain strongholds and trials and tribulations that we didn't believe that we were strong enough to get through, Lord God. I want to thank you for allowing us to get out the way, as Pastor Flint spoke on today, and allowing us to sit back and let you be God, and let you be the one that we can lean on and the one that we can trust, Lord God, instead of going about it our own way. I want to thank you, Lord God, for everyone under the sound of our voice right now, and continue to let Pastor Flint reach us and guide us, Lord God, in the right direction with your words, Lord God, and the things that you allowed him to say, Lord God, and the things that you allowed, that you're using through him, Lord God. I ask that everyone have a safe night tonight. I just ask that everyone get some rest and wake up in the morning alert and ready for the agenda that God has planned for them. I want to thank you for everything else, and then we pray. So it is. All right, everyone, have a great night.